Second one of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your word that provides us with the information that we need to have in order to understand our situation in the devil's world, as well as your provision for it, and how it is that our lives are designed to glorify you as we demonstrate your perfect truth in the adversity of the devil's world. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, that the information is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our study of how the lie becomes so pervasive that it becomes the public lie, for Jesus' statement regarding Satan as the father of lies who deceives the entire world in John 8:44, of course, we recognize that Satan invented sin. The first sin was basically the lie that he convinced himself of. He deceived himself, thinking that he could become the Most High. And then he follows through on the agenda in his arrogance and launches the angelic rebellion. And Revelation 12:9 describes how he deceives the entire world and how he's thrown down by Jesus Christ, and all of his angels are thrown down with him. And of course, this is prior to the millennium, where Jesus reestablishes paradise basically on the planet for 1,000 years. Of course, you have paradise along with old sin natures, which means that there is going to be negative volition, although not certainly as bad as we have today because of the lack of the satanic influence. You know, but negative volition still exists. Remember, the woman and the man fell in the garden, and of course they were influenced, but they had perfection. So the negative volition ultimately raises its ugly head. Any time a finite creature is left to himself, minus God's grace, or minus understanding God, or rejecting God's truth. Because the only thing that brings us to a complete fullness of God's integrity is to be aware of his truth. So eventually we leave off of it, what it amounts to. So it's basically the AKA how Satan uses public education, the media, and the political class to deceive the nations into believing that satanic viewpoint is superior to divine viewpoint. And the reason the political class gets deceived is because of arrogance. They think that they can solve problems that they can't solve. You know, they want to make the world a better place. And that's a laudable position to have, but they don't recognize where they are. They're in the devil's world, and there's no fixing it. So anything that they do simply becomes, at best, human good, which is evil. And the evil that they perpetrate is terrible. So they go from both spectrums depending on their old sin nature. We know that through the institutions, the media, the progressives have replaced divine viewpoint, including the establishment and doctrinal viewpoint, with a collectivist, communist, statist, atheistic, politically correct viewpoint. And you might say fascistic viewpoint. Politically correctness devolves into fascism because the ultimate viewpoint is that if you don't agree with us, you're evil or a sinner. You know, so we have people that take criminal viewpoints of people or criminal activity towards people who refuse to buy their lie. So that's why Christians become the target in this whole thing. You know, you wonder why is it that Christians are, that's a major reason, because Christians stand their ground with doctrine, and the cosmic system hates that, and it goes to war against it, and that ultimately devolves into criminality or worse. So the progressive communist long march through the institutions has accomplished the task of transforming the population from a well-educated, upwardly mobile, spiritually astute, traditionalist-oriented electorate into a mind-numbed, balkanized mob of narcissists who are self-absorbed and ignorant. So that's, just basically compare today's generation with the World War II generation. And imagine the response that today's generation would have to the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Okay, in the World War II generation, they recognized the evil associated with the bombing. They pointed to the correct problem, the criminality of the Japanese leaders, and they engaged in a war. Today, they would be excusing them and blaming ourselves for what they did. And there was blame to go around at the time. I mean, you realize that the Japanese bombed us because we were protecting the Chinese. You gotta realize that. See, we had pre-positioned air units into China. And that was affecting the Japanese ability to get raw materials from China. So they, if you want to blame somebody, they could blame us. See, but see, that problem is when you go from, you know, restricting a blockade, in essence, is what was happening. That's, we were trying to restrain their use of the material from China, to bombing people, that's especially innocent civilians to a large extent, then you got a problem. Of course, whatever, it is what it is. But the issue is the reaction. What would be the difference? Today, there would be apologists all over the place. Back then, today was a day of infamy. That's the difference. The difference is what's in these people's heads. Unable to effectively function in a free society, they demand government handouts. They have become nihilists who will follow anyone who promises them a free lunch, free college tuition, free health insurance, or whatever else they want for free. So what happens is, because they have rejected truth, they are not functional. And as a result, they cannot actually produce anything significant. So eventually, the whole thing implodes. So in essence, they become slaves. And we're gonna as we segue through this, not today, probably not next time, but the time after that, we're probably going to get into a discussion of Israel and Moses. And Israel and Moses were a perfect example of this. Israel was a slave nation. Remember, they were freed from Egypt. And they were pulled out from across the Red Sea by God's miracle. The picture is of salvation. I mean, really, the whole story of the Exodus is a picture of salvation, where they were enslaved in Egypt. That's equivalent to our being enslaved to the old sin nature. Coming out through the Red Sea is equivalent to being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then on the other side, you're free. But you have no doctrine. Big problem. So, minus doctrine, which Moses obviously was trying to convey to them, they had no capacity for the freedom that they'd been given. And that's precisely what happens to believers. Believers are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, and they're positionally free in Christ, but they have no doctrine, so they have no understanding of what they've got, or how to use it, or maintain it, or do anything with it. They basically have nothing but slave mentality, because that's all they had before they were saved. All right? So your thinking hasn't changed, your position has changed infinitely. See, that's the difference. And now you have an option to advance in the Word of God and use your freedom, learn it and use it, learn how to use it. But no, what did they do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. So it's just like what we do as Christians. It's no different. So a Christian, an unbeliever becomes a believer, or who's a Christian, baby believer, and they go back, not knowing any better and not learning doctrine or not going where to get it, they end up going back to what they were before. Saved, going to heaven, but no different functionally, because they don't have any capacity. And they're not willing to learn it. Okay, so why aren't they willing to learn it? Arrogance. They either think they know that, but they don't know, which is possible, or they don't know and they don't care, which is also possible. You see, either case, though, they're saved and going to heaven. That they're actually become functional for the dark side rather than for Jesus Christ, even though they're in Christ. So the fifth column is what it amounts to. See, they're in the church. They're members of the royal family. Not functional very well, but they're there. And they're basically a fifth column, which is what we've got in this country, fifth column. People who have been deceived. So it's really a great parallel. So we're going to talk about that when we get to down a little bit later here. So they want something for nothing, and that something is government money, and the nothing is their effort to earn it. This means that selling of an entire population a lie is to promise anything for free while advancing the hidden agenda of plundering private property and destroying freedom in order to pay for it. See, behind the scenes is how are they going to fulfill the promises. And the way the politicians are going to fulfill the promises, if they can, of course, you know, in a country like the United States, they have a certain amount of problem because they have a constitution to deal with. They also have some limited amount of separation of power, although that's certainly very fragile at the moment. So we have a government running by executive order, which is basically fiat. That's what's going on. And occasionally the court system, some judge will stand up and say, no, you can't do that, but it doesn't happen very often because most of the judges are political too. So it's just basically doesn't really go very well. That's where we are. That's why we are where we are. It's a conspiracy. This is the thing you got to realize. But it's a satanic conspiracy. It's not people. People are not big enough to run this show. Now, there certainly may be people who are evil enough to think they can advance a certain agenda, but not the global size thing that Satan has in mind. See, remember, Satan has a global conspiracy to establish the millennium before Jesus comes back. And so he's in the business of trying to create a system or systems where he can actually implement his policies on a global scale. And anything he can do to destroy the nations advances his cause. Remember, the nations are God's firewall against the satanic internationalism. And God created the nations, and we've talked about this already after the flood, for the purpose of fragmenting the human race and establishing autonomous groups of people who would establish unique cultures, some of which would be positive to his word and some which would not. In any case, though, the fragmentation that was created would establish a firewall so that no one individual would have capacity to rule over the whole show. That being Satan. Of course, the Tower of Babel was the classic example of him running the show. That was the point of it. So that's why that was terminated. So we live in the period where the nation nationalism is a category of establishment for the purpose of protecting humanity from satanic tyranny. Now, what we've noticed, the politicians are rapidly going towards that. We have the big deal with Brexit right now. What is that all about? Well, that's about Britain leaving the EU, where the satanic policies of pan-Europe are in play, and it's very detrimental to the society because of the mass immigration that's occurring. See, the same thing's happening here, happening over there, only it's way worse over there. Okay? Same dynamics. So it's a conspiracy, but it's Satan's conspiracy because most of the human participants are unaware of it. And if they are, they're fragmentary. They could be some cases demon possessed. So the demon's running the show and they're kind of along for the ride. That could happen. Those kinds of things. But there's a lot of do-gooders involved. Just plain. It's sentimental. It sounds good. We got problems. People need help. We want to help. So you've got do-gooderism involved. That's a big piece of it. Especially when it's believers, because a believer can't be demon possessed. All right? They're simply mind-numbed robots locked in step with Satan because of the old sin nature. And this is why the warfare is spiritual. So we always have to remember, when we see this conflict that's occurring, it's a spiritual conflict, which means it's a war of ideas. And that's as it should be. Because the whole purpose of our being on this planet is to testify for Satan or Jesus Christ in the angelic conflict. And that's a war of ideas. And as the ebb and flow of time goes, as positive and negative volition play out, there's an up and down in the countries, in the zeitgeist of the nations. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Well, what is that? Arrogance. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your disobedience is complete. So the point here is to have a change of thinking decision. Now, we recognize that an unbeliever has no hope here. Unbelievers are locked in step following the Pied Piper of Satan. They have no option because of the old sin nature control of the soul. Believers, on the other hand, do have an option. They can function under the mentorship of the Spirit. That's an option. They have that potential. Whether they operate there is, again, volitional and capacity from doctrine. Many don't. In Ephesians 6:12, we have the principle of the spiritual warfare that Paul used in his discussion. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, people are not the issue. They're pawns. But against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So there's the reason why we have the conflict that we have. And again, that is as God would have it. Because what did Jesus say? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And he actually magnified it. You know, his persona coming to the earth, fulfilling the objective of Messiah, going to the cross, resolving the sin problem, being resurrected and ascended, set up the greatest dichotomy that could exist. And you're, when you're in association with Christ as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are connected to Him even though you may not be functionally there. So you're at war. The world is at war with you even though you may not be aware of it. You see. And lots of people aren't because they want to make peace with the world. And we got leaders in our ship in our government that are like that. You know, the solution to terrorism is love. Yeah. Out of the sharp end of a 357 mag. That's love. You know, there ain't no fixing it. You know, words of love for the poor guy that got hurt or the victim. Okay, that's why you have establishment. Establishment does not bear the sword in vain, and obviously they are, because they won't. This is the Justice Department. Okay, talk about miscarriage of viewpoint. It's crazy, but that's what we've got. You see, that's satanic. All modern-day conspiracies hide behind a facade of an ideology based on a public lie that, when shouted out long enough and loud enough, becomes public opinion. We saw that with Goebbels. You know, the whole point, remember, you know, in fact, they were trying to play this game the other day. It was pretty amazing. I was just shocked. They eventually turned around. They tried to eliminate all reference to ISIS and Allah in this guy's thing down there in Orlando. It's just hilarious. And they've been in the media for a week. How are they going to suppress this? But they tried. Can you believe it? It was amazing. I was shocked. Talk about arrogance. You know, or deceived. Who was deceived there? Well, the bosses are. They think they can get away with it. The way progressive ideology works can be understood by referencing Karl Marx's definition of ideology as a pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil that conceals while advancing the economic interests of a class. Remember, Marx's whole agenda was to fragment the community based on class, economic class, and then to turn them against each other. And his agenda was to attempt to break up the ruling class so that the lower people could take over. Of course, that never worked. And it never would work. So that was his agenda. And that's what they did, of course, which it all backfired and they ended up with nothing. When applied to cultural Marxism, it would be described as a pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil. So we always have a lie that we're advancing with. The lie that everybody's going to be equal, all this. And egalitarianism and equality is always a big part of this. The feel-good part of thinking everybody's going to be equal. And there's an element of truth to that. In the church, everybody is what? Spiritually, before God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, equal. Okay, but that does not transcend into the temporal. Right? There is no equality in the devil's world. And in reality, there's no equality in the church either after the first microsecond. Because some have positive volition and some have negative volition. Some have positive volition later, and then have negative volition. So, you know, you got this whole continuum of people and their orientation to God's Word, and that creates an inequality, instantaneously. Because the more doctrine you have, the more prosperity you're going to have, the more blessing from God you have. The less doctrine you have, the more discipline you're going to have, the more God makes war with you. So, you do have a positional equality. But that doesn't last experientially for a microsecond. Okay, that's the thing. So they do have a rhetorical veil that they can use to advance this hidden agenda, which is trying to make equality. You know, that's why the 14th Amendment is such a big deal in the United States, because of the backwards way they're applying it back to the states in order to force the states to comply with their egalitarian vision. You see, that's the thing. That's where we get all the hassles that we're having today, and that's why the nation is so messed up. Because there are people in this country who do want to hold the standards of Christianity, or what, establishment at least, and the government's refusing to let you. Okay? You know, that's why you gotta let boys into girls' bathrooms. Stuff like that. Alright? That's the government for, that's the 14th Amendment coming right back at you. So they're using our laws to destroy us by misapplying them. That's what's going on. So it's a masterpiece when you think about it, the way it's worked out. It's satanic. It's a satanic masterpiece. When applied to cultural masterpiece, it would be described as a pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil that conceals while advancing an agenda. All conspiracies have leaders whose objectives are power and control. See, in the final analysis, you've got monetary lust, power lust, approbation lust. Those are the functional sins, if you will, mental attitude sins of the people that are playing the game. Somehow they're going to obtain or maintain power, money, and people are going to love them. Good luck with that. They only need an ideology that they can hide behind so that they can conceal while advancing their hidden agenda. So again, they have to create an ideology, which again is do-gooderism, some category. And it all is going to be related to some category of human viewpoint do-gooderism that's basically related to satanic viewpoint. They do this by finding what they consider to be a vulnerable minority, or minorities, who can be manipulated by approbation, lust, pseudo-compassion, or anger. And a lot of times this is already there because of resentment of not understanding why there's a problem in the minority. Generally, the minority has done something to separate it from the establishment group. You know, whatever that happens to be. A lot of things it can be. Well, it can be immorality. It can be all kinds of things. Family breakups. Huge one. I mean, the main commandment relating to prosperity and establishment is honor your father and your mother. We got a whole subculture in our country that's just completely gone with that. Gone. History. They're the worst ones off at this point, pretty much. Because of their negative relation to the family. And of course, that's negative for marriage. The whole thing backs right up into marriage. They're not married. They're having babies out with luck. No data. No mama even. Okay, so we talked about that. And of course, that's chaos. So these special interest groups who are already functioning in crusader arrogance, in the crusader of Cosmic One, are easy targets for the deception by false promises and flattery. So they're easily won over into the cause. Because they're already predisposed to reacting. Because of the old sin nature's reaction to what they consider to be inequality and the fact that they're not, it's not right. You know, the big thing is that, well, why should one person have so much more than another? Well, do you ever think about positive volition? You know, some people actually do go to college and do discipline themselves and do work hard and don't have babies when they're 15 and don't do drugs from the time they're 12. You know, there slight difference here. Isn't there a difference in result as a consequence of that? Maybe. You know, bad decisions limit future options. Hello? See, that's the problem. The conspiracy's leaders feed the lust patterns of the crusaders by assuring them that their valid special interest is being ignored by the status quo. In other words, the traditionalists, the establishment folks, not necessarily mean establishment in the sense of those who are in power either, divine establishment-oriented people. They may be an establishment, they may not be. These days, some not so much. But the status quo, remember, the truth comes before the error. It's when you always start with truth. The truth in the garden started, and then the error came along, and they were kicked out of the garden. In the United States, the truth started with, to the extent that truth exists. Remember, the whole world's deceived, so there's no complete truth. There's issues, but there's more and less. And any amount you have positive volition is going to be blessed, because that's humility. And any part that's negative volition is going to be made war on, because that's arrogance. So it starts with, in our country, it started with positive volition towards establishment, at least, and to some extent, doctrine. And as a result, this nation has become the greatest nation on the planet. Because we were started in a way where we didn't have the baggage that the other client nations had from their historical pedigree. The ruling class, the dynasties, the kings, you know, you go to England and you've got a family. You know, the family, they were ascended a long time ago and they're still on the throne. And you got this to deal with. United States, we didn't have any of that. I don't know, they're trying to put some of that back in, but, you know, the reason the founders didn't want that is because they didn't want that baggage. They wanted everybody that's an area of freedom that they wanted to have. In the United States, you've had a potential to actually break through the various class structures economically by virtue of positive volition to establishment principles and education and having the humility to do it. And you still can. You go other places in the world, it's not almost not possible. Okay? So because it's locked down. So the point is, this country started out with truth to an extent, to a greater extent. So they cater to this special interest, alleging that they're ignored by the status quo. In other words, that's not the victims. They're a victim. And their flattery is a catalyst that unites the crusader with the conspirator. So now they got him. And you wonder why certain groups of people in this country vote a certain way all the time, even though they're actually voting against their own self-interest by doing it. It's irrational. But we're going to talk about that too. We've already in a little bit. But Romans discusses that. See, they're locked in negative volitions. What happens? They don't see it. They don't see it. They don't see it. They don't have doctrine to discern that that's what's going on. They're deceived by their own arrogance. So as pawns in the plot reach the unstated and hidden agenda, the conspirators and the crusaders become the mouthpiece of the conspiracy. So they're going to advance the conspiracy together. And they're going to be fomented. The crusaders are outside, are the visible people. Now, if you want to look at, for example, the rent-a-mob that you see running around out here when something goes down in some city, like Ferguson or Baltimore, or at a, you know, there's going to be a national convention in a couple of cities. The rent-a-mob. Now, behind the scenes of that rent-a-mob is someone who's paying them. Now, you don't see that guy. But he's a conspirator, you see. And the crusaders are out on the street, making all the noise, causing all the ruckus. Hopefully not criminal, you know, that, let's hope not. But, you know, that tends to happen. But in the background, invisible, is a conspirator that's driving the whole thing, really. And we don't even know half the time who that is. You know, that's part of the problem. We don't know who that is. We have ideas, but we don't know for certain. So an example of this is a global climate change lie, where the conspirators sell the lie of global climate change to whomever is willing to buy it by selling it as a crisis. In other words, they say, if we don't fix something now, the earth is going to flood. All right? And of course, it hadn't happened since the last time. Well, who was the big purveyor of this 10 years ago? You know, Al Gore. Where none of his prophecies came to truth. In fact, the name of the oceans have fallen. So the point is, this whole thing is a lie, but they don't look at that. It just, something happened. They don't understand. So anyway, they make a crisis out of it. They support their crisis by fudging the climate data and using inaccurate computer models. The big problem here is the computer models. You know, everything is inverted in the weather science. You know, normally the facts support the models. In this case, the models are trying to be supporting the facts. It's upside down. You know, but that's when a lie, remember, a lie is always upside down. Everything's backwards in a lie. So if their data don't support their idea, it's the problem with the data, not my idea. My idea is still right, and the data just right for now. They're going to kind of explain it away. That's why it's called climate change now instead of global warming. Started out with global warming, that didn't play. It's still not playing. It hasn't been a global warming in 20 years. You see, so now it's global climate change. So you know, whatever. Just change the story a little bit. That everything else remains stable, you know, so they can run their agenda. So those who buy the lie become the crusaders, who are then organized by the conspirators into special interest groups with a stated public agenda that is really a rhetorical veil to clean up the environment that greedy capitalists and privileged people have desecrated. Greedy capitalists and Christians. Okay. That's what's going on, in case you want to know. Because who believes in capitalism? Christians. Why? By an establishment. Who's privileged? Christians. Why? Blessing from God. All the privilege comes from blessing from God. Whatever it is. It doesn't have to be white or any other color. It's just what is. If you advance God's word, you're going to be blessed. And you want to be blessed more? More doctrine. More doctrine. That's how you bless. So anyway, they blame the desecration, which doesn't exist, it's basically on positive volition to God's word. Now, I'm not saying there are any problems. There are always problems. But generically, positive volition to God's word. So the conspirators, including academia, that's of course the educators, the media and the political class enable the crusaders by authenticating the lie and providing outlets to communicate it. So there's your media. There's your whole story. That's why it's all you hear. Again, back to Goebbels. If you tell a big enough lie long enough, everybody will believe it. Which is what they've got. And this, we start with the young people. You know, because they have what? Blank slate. They got no frame of reference from doctrine unless their parents have somehow got it in there and counteracted what they got from the academia. So the kids don't have a chance. Unless the parents do their job. See, it's the parents' job to teach the kids, not the school. Parents. That's God's word, you see. So when you don't do that, then you got problems. Academy teaches a lie, the media spreads it, the publicized, politicized courts uphold it. the politicians get in line at the government teat by creating subsidies for companies that produce products associated with their agenda that, in case of global warming, are ethanol, windmills, and solar panels. Okay, that's kind of one side of it. See, that's how it plays out. So all these companies are unprofitable. In other words, if you said go out there and make a profit, they couldn't. They don't. Their products don't sell for enough money to justify it, and the competition would eat their lunch if it was equal. But it ain't equal because the government's got its agenda. So these companies rarely make a profit, but their expenses are paid for by government mandates and tax credits. So that's how they support it. Companies who make energy products that don't comply with the global change initiatives because they're non-renewable, that's the buzzword or one of them, have their profits confiscated by excessive taxation and over-regulation. See, the reason solar works is because the price of coal, gas, and oil is too high. It's artificially too high. Well, not right now, but it was for 50 years. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The cost of producing non-renewable energy is artificially driven up by the cost of producing so-called renewable energy, and the cost of producing so-called renewable energy that is dependent on the sun, wind, is artificially reduced, so the cash-strapped consumer has little choice but to buy renewable energy. So they kind of force you. They herd you down this path because of the price, which is what they're doing now. You know, in this state, they're creating solar cooperatives and stuff. You know, which is okay, maybe, although the truth of the matter is, it'd be better if the price of energy was just plain lower. I mean, solar has its place. I'm going to talk about that, too. The law can be advanced as long as the actual use of non-renewable energy greatly exceeds the use of renewable energy, but the entire system implodes with rolling blackouts and brownouts when the sun and wind-based renewable energy becomes a significant part of the total production portfolio. So the point is, this all works until everybody's running on solar, because then when it gets dark out, you don't have any power. And that's when you really wanted it. See, so that's what's happening. So what does that do? Well, that makes the battery the big deal, and that ain't happening yet. That's where Tesla comes in. See, if Tesla wins, he rules the world. So that's because he's a battery company. This is an aside. That's interesting, though. But even that does not stop the crusaders, who remain motivated to move their agenda forward by the mantra, the earth must be saved for future generations at any cost. See, they're ignoring God's word. You know, that Jesus Christ controls the universe by the word of his power. That everything is stabilized by him. You know, Hebrews 1:3, Colossians 1:13. They believe that the end is so righteous that they are justified in using any and all means necessary, including criminality, to pursue their agenda, which they do. So far it's been limited, but it has happened. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with renewable energy systems because they have their place in the market. But they should be only adopted by uncoerced free volition in a truly free market under the principles of free enterprise. That's the point. See, all this stuff has a place, but it's not the government's job to force the issue. That's evil. See, that's what's going on. This is one venue where the lie is, I'm using it as an example of how the lie is promoted. And there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, actually, it's everything you hear in the media is an object of a lie. Everything. I mean, you can go, if you analyze what's being said, somewhere back in the back room is something going on that is not what's being said. And it pretty much is ubiquitous. I mean, it's everywhere. Government-sponsored corporatism hurts the poor the most because their policies artificially raise prices. The oil and gas and coal industry have all been hurt by evil government policies ever since Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger figured out how they could borrow oil dollars back from Saudi in the 70s. See, we talked about this a while back. And this is why we have the big problem we have now with the trading, because the government has figured out that it can fund its budget deficit with the trade deficit by borrowing the money back from the people who have the trade surplus, which is what they're doing. They did it with Saudi. They did it with Japan, and now they're doing it with China. They did it with energy. They did it with cars. And now they're doing it with everything. Because you can't buy anything that's not made in China, hardly. I mean, airplanes and a few computers here and there of certain kinds, almost nothing. But the components that are in all that stuff are made in China. Even the stuff is assembled here. We don't make anything like that here, hardly. Almost nothing. It's insane. So the government's aided and abetted this whole process. This Trans-Pacific deal that they're ranking about right now is a huge problem, man. That thing puts us under international law. Which means that if corporations and even constitutional principles do not comply with international law, they can attempt to force us to change. We can lose the Second Amendment over that one. TAP. That's how evil that is. If that plays out. Now, right now, it's catching some headwind, but hey, it was about ready to slide right through. The result of using the trade deficit caused by excessively high energy prices to fund the national budget that combined with the EPA, another Nixon agency, with its draconian environmental fascism, was to lock in artificial high energy prices for decades until the recent collapse that occurred because the lies are ultimately unsustainable. See, the only reason what happened in the last year or two happened is because something came along that they hadn't anticipated. Fracking! And that blew the doors off oil and gas production. Now, they'd already killed the coal industry with the EPA. So now they're targeting what? Fracking and oil. That's what they're targeting. Because they don't want it. They don't have any power with that. That's free enterprise. But they got hammered. Now, if it's been since the 70s, in the 75, 76 range when they figured this out, how many years? See, 80, 90, 2006, 2016. Almost 40 years we were in these exorbitantly high energy prices. 40 years. Now, 40 years is a long time. People set up their entire portfolios, management of portfolios based on things that last that long. You know, so what has happened in the last couple years or so with the fracking has been incredibly difficult for people because it flipped everything back to where it's supposed to be. Unfortunately, you know, the policy, the system is not designed to sustain those low prices because they should have never been up there to begin with. See, the government created that problem. I mean, the fact that we had $4 a gallon gas was just, that's atrocious. The government, you blame that entire on the government. And their policies to force it up there. Because they want what? Well, what did our president say when he went in office? We are going to put you people out of business. Speaking of the coal people. And electric rates must of necessity go up. Well, they actually haven't because of the gas. But that's another story. You see, it's not his fault that they didn't go up. He tried his best, but he got trumped. God came along and went, fracking! And that shut him down for now. Poor people are helped more by having jobs and low prices than they are by receiving government subsidies, otherwise known as handouts. Our economy has been destroyed by evil government policies for the decades, and now nearly half the population is receiving some kind of government subsidy or handout. And these socialist lies are also unsustainable, so they will ultimately fail miserably. See, the problem is they're making a lie. It's all smoke and mirrors. But it can last for a long time. 40 years is a long, that's a generation, you see? So you have a generation of people who've been dealt with according to the lie, and they've set their whole life up based on a lie. And now, of course, God's gone, whoosh, and the rug has been pulled out. Because the lie is not sustainable. And every one of these lies that's being foisted off by these guys is not sustainable. They're going to crash and burn. You know, the reality is people need to recognize that you can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So the quicker you lock into truth, the better off you are, because then you're going to be making rational decisions from a position of strength. Instead of asking for a handout from somebody, which ain't going to apply, because pretty soon somebody else is going to run, you're going to run out of somebody else's money. And that's how socialism works. This is why God's indictments against Israel leaders applies to the political class in the USA today. And we had seen this before, but it comes back again. And if this isn't us, this isn't us. Isaiah 10, 1 to 4. Woe to those who enact evil statutes. That's the political class. And those who constantly record unjust decisions. The courts. So as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights. See, this is what we've done in spades. For at least, I would say, I don't know, since World War II almost, maybe not quite, but really, really close to it. It started before that in incipiency. The World War II, the Depression of World War II kind of slid it by a little while. Then it came back and reared its ugly heads back in the 60s. So that the widows may be their spoil, and they may plunder the orphans. So that's, see, they're wiping out the poor people, which is precisely what goes on with this. The poor people are destroyed and decimated. I mean, when ethanol came in, the price of corn across the world, like, tripled. It didn't bother us because we have lots of money. We're rich. But how about the poor people that eat corn? They couldn't afford $3 a bushel corn when it was 30 cents or whatever before. You see, it was a problem. So it just decimated the poor. And it's wrong. Why in the world do you want to burn food in a car? There's oil. Plus, it makes the gas mileage terrible. I mean, there's no reason to do it except because some idiot thinks it's carbon dioxide makes the earth hot. Wrong. You know, it's a bunch of lies, you see. But it's all manipulated. And the big boys are doing this crap, you know. You hear about the big conservatives. Conservatives, I put that in quotes. The Koch brothers. Where do they make their money? Ethanol. Ethanol, one of the big products they make. Okay, that's evil. And if they stand out with their righteous viewpoint of things, they're so holy. Evil. They shouldn't be in that business. It's a government-sanctioned process. But whatever. Now what will you do in the day of punishment? So this is God coming back on them. And in the devastation which will come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? He's talking to the ruling class here. And where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the captives or fall among the slain. In spite of all this, his anger does not turn away, and his hand is still stretched out. Hammer time's coming, baby. In this case, it was Assyria. You know, they skinned him alive. I mean, that's why the next bunch is Assyria, because Assyria was just absolutely, they were mayhem. Bad. Genghis Khan. You know, overdone. God took them out ultimately too because of their evil. But he used them to discipline the northern kingdom. He used them to wipe them basically off the planet. You know, the few that have survived went to the southern kingdom and hung out. The rest of them were toast. There was no death march with Assyria. It was just death. So, I mean, it was totally, which is, again, the next bunch of verses, we aren't going there, we've talked about it before, address Assyria. But this is what's happened here, okay? And this is why these guys aren't going to have any place to hide. Remember, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Never forget that. Jesus Christ controls history. He's got it covered. We don't know how, but we know he does. The Word of God says he does. And doctrine is more sure than the sun coming up tomorrow. So, you want some sustainability, that's sustainable. Doctrine is more sure than, and he said that, that's his doctrine. Then it's his mind, says the Lord, I will repay. So the conspirators' hidden agenda is an attack on divine establishment freedom through the seizure of private property over regulation that prevents development and plundering taxation under the guise of so-called carbon credits that are in essence a tax on everyone who breathes. So in essence, you're going to have to pay a ticket because you have bigger lungs. You know, that's the end game of this thing. When implemented, the progressive conspirators will have stolen the power and control they wanted with almost no opposition. See, that's what's going on. No one opposes this stuff. Well, we kind of almost have someone now. Maybe. Cross our fingers. That might slow it down for a microsecond. They can now limit private property and capitalism and reinvent society in a manner that they choose by controlling everyone with a massive central government that regulates everything and compels everyone to comply with them under penalty of law. Now, who does that aid and abet? Satan. See, that's Satan's agenda. Plus, you don't have any borders, right? Because you got rid of them all. Woo-hoo. There's our beast. This is how the lie becomes a public lie contained in public opinion. Under the direction of Satan and his demon army, the conspirators are simultaneously advancing different lies into public lies of public opinion on many fronts. See, this is happening, like I said, in the media. If you listen to them at all, the way to listen to them is to try to figure out what the backstory is. I mean, I don't hardly watch. I got tired of watching because the backstory is just so amazing. You just sit and think about, well, where is that really going from? And the backstory is just terrible. So it's really not hardly worth watching. You're not learning anything. I mean, except maybe to figure out what backstories you need to find, if you care anymore, because it's so frustrating. Whatever the crusade, its pseudo-philosophical rhetorical veil conceals while handling the hidden agenda of Satan's plan of establishing a globalist dictatorship under his control on the earth. And in order to do this, he must first destroy client nation USA. See, we are the biggest restraint in the world as client nation. Now, we ain't much of a client nation anymore. You know, I'm not certain we could even fight a war. We would capitulate. All right? Because if Japan was to bomb us today, we would say, we surrender. That's what we would say. Not today as a day in infamy. Nah, we wouldn't. We'd say, we surrender. The present hidden agenda of the satanic progressives and the conversion of the American culture into a culture that is egalitarian, secular, libertine, and collectivist. So that's where they're taking us. Slaves, basically. Those words describe, there's one word that describes all of them together. It's called slavery. The Progressive Professor offers citizens more freedom. However, the freedom they actually do offer actually has to do more with removing the internal restraint of basic principles of divine established morality. In other words, you can be a libertine. Now, we'll let you be a homosexual. Or whatever. Take your pick. What kind of depravity you want to get involved in, we'll let you do that. While imposing tyrannical system of external restraints on freedoms that a truly free society actually requires to maintain freedom. Things like the Second Amendment, you see. Well, we couldn't have that because they might resist us. Which is what they should be doing, of course. Resisting you. The satanically inspired progressive conspirators are advancing their tyranny by, one, limiting the freedom to express what they consider to be politically correct, incorrect speech. That's attack on First Amendment. Limiting media access to those who oppose their egalitarian libertine agenda. Attack on First Amendment. Eliminating the natural right to comply with Jesus' mandate to keep and bear arms. Second Amendment attack. Destroying personal wealth through the confiscatory taxation that is required to sustain a socialist government, social programs, and transfer of wealth. Fifth Amendment attack. Confiscating private property through illegal judicial rulings that prevent development and abuse of eminent domain to increase tax revenue. Fifth Amendment. So the Constitution's under assault. And I could probably add another, there's six, there's another one. I could probably add another bunch to this list. Six, destroying capitalism through international laws, this is what I was just mentioning, that are established based on global climate change lie by imposing confiscatory taxes on the form of carbon credits, first on corporations, later on individuals. This is being advanced in Congress with trade deals under the guise of free trade, as I mentioned with the TPA. That baby has so many back doors, it's just scary. And the Congress has written off on it, for all practical purposes. In fact, they've basically created an environment where they have eliminated themselves in the process. So it's a fait accompli, basically. Now, I think there's some pushing and shoving going on at the moment, but whatever, it's crazy. And lastly, destroying the culture by unrestricted immigration of unvetted people who do not want to assimilate and do not share the foundational divine establishment values that are the basis of the nation's prosperity for God's blessing. You know, so that's an attack on establishment, the nations. So those are direct attacks that are occurring simultaneously in a multi-pronged attack by the satanic progressives. And you could probably add another 15 or 20 to this list without working real hard. Just by, you know, you could fragment it down a little bit, even. And the point is, it's just amazing. So that's why you watch the news when it's all about, what's the wonder what the hidden agenda on that one is. And that's why you should watch it, really, because it'll help you clear your, get your head straight. You know, it's really what's going on. It's pretty amazing. So each of this is simply a means of design to create a crisis with the objective of achieving the desired ends of fundamentally changing the USA from a country based on divine establishment truth into a country that is based on socialist, corporatist, secularist, atheistic lies. That's what it's all about. And why? They want to control it. See, they want power. They want power. And money. By using Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, principle of stating a big lie long enough and loud enough, the progressives are establishing their lies as public opinion. The nation has been divided and betrayed by progressives who have used our own laws to destroy us by hiding behind our own immoral minorities in the name of equality. See, that's the thing. The minorities are immoral, And they in fact, very often they're a very small fragment of the population, a couple of percent. And yet they put them to the front of the thing, and they address their needs in the name of equality, thereby destroying the whole system with our own laws. You see, that's how that's going down. So, as Ben said, we have a republic, but we can't sustain it because of our immorality. See, the core essence of a republic functioning under God's grace is to have an inherent morality among the people. And we've reached a tipping point where there's probably, it did not appear, there's not enough moral people left to maintain it. Now we'll see. You know, there can be some pretty big issues going down. God is in the business of doing stuff that's really cool, and we're in a catbird seat. And some of that stuff is going to have to happen, but in the meantime, it's going to get interesting. You know, like I said, God's in the business of snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. He does it all the time. He did it with Noah. He did it with Jesus Christ. He does it every time he comes into play. And he does things through catastrophe. You got to realize that too. God does not do things slow and easy. And nothing creeps up on you. It's boom! And the whole world is different now because of that boom that you didn't predict. You see? And that's how God does it. It's catastrophic. And of course, God's people are saved through the whole thing. The elect is always saved. They're delivered in some manner or fashion. Because that's the core. That's the seed crop. That's who starts the next generation or the next group of people or whatever's happening. You see, the pivot of believers, and for that matter, many believers associated with the pivot, are the ones that are delivered through the process, either by delivering the nation itself or by being extracted and put down somewhere else where they're going to function. And we don't know when the exit resurrection occurs. That's always in play. God permits this because he's permitting Satan to use people in his attempt to make his case in the court trial that becomes the resolution of the conflict. See, we're not to be upset about this. The attitude we're supposed to be is of Jesus Christ on that boat on this Lake of Galilee. He's catching some Z's because he knows that God has it under control. And his disciples are jumping up and down and screaming and hollering, and they're waking Jesus up because they're scared when they should be just going along with the ride. Because Jesus is there. And there's no way that anything can happen to him. So by extension, it can't happen to them either because they're in the same boat. You see, we're in the same boat with Jesus on this thing. And he's got it completely under control. And remember, the issue is ultimately the testimony that's made before God in the angelic conflict. And so he's got to let people run the course of their evil. I mean, that's what the courtroom is for, right? The judge lets the defense go do its thing, man, on 9 yards. By the time the defense is done, boy, that guy's innocent. Woo! Then the prosecution gets on the stage. And he shoots holes through that whole defense, and the fence goes down and crashes, burn. Well, that's what's going on here. You see? That's precisely what's going on. So God's allowing people to be participants in this. Now, they're mostly not aware of it, but they are regardless. See, that's one thing that's really cool about doctrine. Doctrine is true whether you believe it or not. The only thing faith does with doctrine is enable you to be benefited by it. See, people talk about faith, like Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Well, it should really be called the doctrine chapter. Because it's by means of doctrine that these people believe that X, Y, and Z went down. Okay? The fact that they believed the doctrine benefited them. But the doctrine was true or whether or not they believed it. See, the doctrine's in the divine decree. And it's true, period, in the story. It's more certain, as I said earlier, than the sun coming up tomorrow. And that's pretty sure. Because right? We're not 1,007 years from now yet. The rapture hasn't happened. And it is going to stop coming up and down here a while back, a little down the road, 1,000 plus years. But right now, it's coming up tomorrow. So the Word of God is more sure than that because the Word of God is going to transcend through that whole process. So our faith, which is our believing the doctrine, is benefited as a part of believing what's true. That's it. That's what makes faith work. the fact that you believed what was true. That's it. See, the thing about doctrine is doctrine cannot be acquired experimentally or rationally. It can only be acquired by means of believing it. That's what makes it so hard. You see, and the unbeliever can't do it. See, the unbeliever cannot have doctrine. They have no capacity. They're driven by old sin nature. Holy Spirit is required for doctrine. So this is a characteristic of believers only. And for that matter, it's a characteristic of positive believers only. Okay? Because most people are negative and the doctrine isn't helping them any because they don't believe it. So you're a unique group of people. So you're sitting in a catbird, so you're like Jesus and his disciples, and you're not going to get upset. You're just going to go along for the ride because you like the biggest roller coasters in the world. And that's where we're at. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and for the confidence that gives in us in you and your provision for us as we face the challenges that you let come our way in the devil's world in order that you can be vindicated and we blessed by the process. Help us to recall and apply this as we face the challenges that do come our way. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.